once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjureman Ali of TheConjureMan.com in Mission Viejo, California, and special co-host, Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rubricers, William Stickevers of WilliamStickevers.com in San Francisco, California, bringing us today's topic on the fall equinox. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjureman Ali and Miss Aida. Conjureman Ali.
Thanks, Papa Newt, as always, for that wonderful introduction. Papa Newt is also manning the board today, so you are our fearless leader and guide, because I am a bit of a Luddite when it comes to technology. As those of you can tell from the sound of my voice, I am not Miss Cat. Miss Cat is away for the weekend, and she will be back next week. We wish her loads of fun, and we look forward to her return. Until then, we have a wonderful guest co-host, Miss Aida, a fan favorite, quite famous for the work that she does, the work with animals, the work with cursing work. She's also an author with the Missionary Independent Spirituals Church, so we are very excited to have her here. Before we check in with Miss Aida and see how she is doing, just a little bit of update on my end. I have ended my travels for now. I will be headed home in a couple days, so I'll be back home, the last leg of my little journey, so I'm looking forward to that. As much as I enjoy traveling about the United States and elsewhere, as a good old-fashioned tourist, I do miss my bed and my lovely, lovely home. So I am looking forward to returning back. I am getting back into the swing of fall. I enjoy summer, but fall is one of my favorite seasons, without a doubt. And as is kind of tradition for me, whenever fall kind of comes around, fall and spring are when I do most of my cleaning work. So I am looking forward to a dusting and going through my books. I have a lot of books at my house. I have, a library of about 5,000 or so books. Last I counted, which was a couple of years ago, so it's probably a little bit bigger. And they end up, because I read so much at the same time, they end up in piles all over the place. So I have piles on my desk. I have piles at my dining table. I have piles next to my bed. And so they end up becoming like a second bedstand because there's a pile of books on there. And so I'm looking forward to doing some cleaning work in regards to that. I always set aside a few days where I just clean my books, putting the stuff I'm not working on back onto the shelves and keeping the stuff that I am. Unfortunately, when I do these type of, cleaning of the house, especially when it comes to books, what ends up happening is that I'll start reading a book and I'm like, oh, no, I need this one. And so I end up keeping most of the books rather than putting them back on their shelves. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the next few days, a total bibliophile and nerd update from me. Let's check in with our wonderful Miss Aida, who's a dear friend and a fan favorite. I'm very excited to have her join me as my co-host. Miss Aida, welcome. So glad to have you here. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I don't admire you. I can't believe that you're saying it's going to be a lot of fun to clean up these piles.
I know. It's a very odd first thing to say. Looking forward to cleaning piles of books. But you enjoy that kind of busy work. It's fun.
Well, when you're done, you can come over here and do my piles. Although I don't, I'm not a scholar, so I don't have all the bio that you have. So
what's new?
Anyway, I've been I got a dog trial coming up, a competition in October, and I've been working so hard, and one of the biggest points are the retrieves. My dog has been doing them beautifully since he was, well, 2.5 years old. So since he was, I'd say, 6 months old, and now that we're just a few weeks away from the trial, he won't do them anymore. So now I am in a state of panic, and that's what I've been doing.
Well, I'm sure when push comes to shove, it will all work out. I have no doubt about that, both in your skill.
Well,
and
I'm going to tell you what I think about what German Shepherds. I think they know trials are coming up, and they say, let's screw with our owners. That's what I think happens.
Yeah. You think it's like a little bit of defiance
there?
It's
like, you can't do this. But I also wanted to say I joined the Mutual UFO Network. It's called MUFON. And I got to tell you why I'm one of the reasons I'm very excited that William Stickivers is your guest is because I had dinner with him at the Hoodoo Festival, and this was prior to my joining. I was, you know, tossing the idea around, and he says, you know, I see you trying to contact aliens. They will ask you to help them contact aliens. I thought William Stickivers was out of his mind. I was like, yeah, isn't that nice? So I went to my first meeting last week, and guess what? They invited me to a meeting which is called CE5, where they actually try to contact aliens. So I immediately thought of William. I was like, holy cow. I mean, he did that with any card, without cards or anything, just looking at me.
Oh, that's
He's as psychic as hell.
Well, I think that's a great segue into our guest, William Stickivers. We're very happy to have him on. He's been on the show before, I think once before, and we had a fantastic discussion. He did quite a bit of talk and work with astrology, and he's well known for that type of work. Up in San Francisco and around the country. So we're very excited to have him back on the show. Welcome, William Stickivers. How are you doing? Glad to have you here.
It's great to be on this show, Conjure Man and Miss Aida. Thank you very much for that warm welcome, and we're excited to talk about what we're going to be discussing today. And I'm doing great, and hope everyone out there is doing well.
Well, you have brought us a very interesting topic that I think it's going to be great to dive right into, and punfully intended, it's a very timely topic about the autumnal equinox and what that really means to the work that we do, to divination that we do. So I wanted to just briefly introduce this topic and then turn this over to you. I know that you'll also be talking about this in regards to divination and tarot cards and astrology, so we'll have a nice conversation about this, and I think it'll be very informative for our listeners. Now, the autumn equinox is people kind of wonder, does it have anything to do with hoodoo? Is it anything to do with the kind of traditions that we work with here on the radio show? And the answer to this is yes. I always remark that hoodoo is a form of natural magic in the kind of anthropological sense of the category, that in regards to the work that hoodoo is to do, it really revolves around working with herbs and roots, and this is often forgotten about because we kind of fixate on candles, and there's nothing wrong with candles. Candles are fantastic, a very powerful way of working, but at its roots, hoodoo and root work is working with roots and herbs and minerals and cures and the natural world, and part of this involves understanding the timing of the natural world. And so you'll often find very traditional and classical hoodoo practitioners versed in working with the movement of the sun, with the movement of the moon, the phases of the moon, is the sun rising, even the hands of the clock are very common ways of working. Another way of working is with the seasons themselves. That's why both fall and spring are times when root workers tell their clients to do house cleansings. Fall and the autumnal equinox in particular is also roughly around the time when most people refresh their mojo bags. So it is a very important time in hoodoo and something that isn't often discussed. So I'm going to turn this over to William and have you kind of introduce and lead us in this discussion, and we'll all kind of chime in and discuss together.
Yeah, so the main question I get asked by many people in hoodoo who are not really familiar with astrology is what does the fall equinox mean, or what does the fall ingress mean? And essentially what that means, equinox means equal night in Latin, right, where the day and night are equal in terms of hours. We're familiar with the spring equinox, where we have a fall equinox where we both have day and night are equal in the spring and in the fall, particularly on the day that the sun ingresses into its respective sign of Aries in the spring or in Libra in the fall, right? And that occurred on September 19th, all right? Astrological fall technically began on the autumn equinox when the sun ingressed into the sign of Libra at 0 degrees, which it did on September 22nd. And from there, we can assess the what that period of time, what the forthcoming months will bring, what it will initiate, what it will mean. We can, historically, this period, there was a lot of religious mysticism involved with the autumn equinox in the ancient world that has entered into the modern world today with the holidays in particular. The most common theme associated with the autumn equinox in the tradition is the celebration of feasting and of the summer harvest and the preparing for winter. The other holiday very close or within range of the autumn equinox has to do with Samhain, which was a Celtic day of the dead, a festival held on November 1st, right? And according to historical sources, this holiday goes back, this festival, I should say, goes back 2,000 years and was the new year for the Celts, but also a time for the harvest. So the harvest period technically being when the sun ingressed into Libra on the autumn equinox to November 1st, and then the celebration of the dead, which was initiated on the night before, on October 31st, as the Celts believed the veil between the living and the dead was most thin, and the ghost or the spirits of the dead were visiting Earth. So it's a very active period. It's a period of celebration and preparation. It's also a period where, from an astrological perspective, where many of the intentions and initiatives that we set at this time will be the ones that stay with us throughout the fall and into the winter and carry us into the spring.
That's a really good point there. I think it's a powerful state, the idea that the intentions that you set during this time period is something that carries with you through winter and then to the spring. And that's fascinating because, like I said, for a lot of people who work in hoodoo, this is also the time period where you refresh your mojo bags. You take out the herbs, you take out the roots, you replace the bag, you do all sorts of kind of work at this particular time period. So the idea of carrying that with you is, I think, very embedded in that type of tradition. And I think you rightfully bring up the fact that this is also the time of a festival in an ancient period, celebrating the harvest, celebrating the dead, celebrating the feasts that are associated with this, all kind of trickle down into today's society in various different ways. We don't always practice as the ancients do, but there's certainly that ideas of it still endure in a lot of what we do today. I want to ask you, Ms. Aida, is the autumn equinox something that you work with in the work that you do? Is it something that you're aware of timing-wise? Or what are some of the things that I think this time period or this season bring to you or bring to mind for you?
And exactly the same as yours, and it's a time for cleansing. And I look very forward to Samhain. I was taught a little bit differently. I was taught that it wasn't October 31st, but that it's the full moon closest to October 31st. But I do find that the veil between our world and the spiritual world is the thinnest. And I look forward to that because I think, you know, my spells are effective, but I think my spells reach my intention faster during this time. So I always look forward to it, and I always feel good for some reason. I feel great. And I was wondering, is there any astrological correlation to the veil, the belief that the veil is thinnest at Samhain?
Well, it's traditionally, if we look at the ephemeris, it's around the time when the sun ingresses into Scorpio, right? So the Scorpio is got a direction connection with the other world, the dead, the macabre. It's very much connected with the funeral rites. It's very much connected with death, rebirth processes. That's all very much tied in with the tradition of the agrarian culture over the past 2,000 years that shaped our history.
Wow, that's cool. How did they know that so many thousands of years ago? That's so cool.
Well, I think this also speaks to an aspect of astrology that is often kind of not explored in contemporary astrology, and William and a few others are exceptions to this, but mundane astrology or astrology, kind of the oldest traditions of astrology or that we understand from the history of astrology deal with how astrological timing was used to deal with festivals. Both the prediction, for example, in Mesopotamia we find in the Near Eastern cults more broadly, the use of astrology to understand the coming of kings, which when the king will die and who will replace the king, as well as in Hellenic astrology, the date of festivals and rites and rituals and works. And so this is very much, we find that being able to astrologically understand what is going on in this time period, as well as understanding what the autumnal equinox really represents, is rooted in kind of the oldest tradition of astrology, much older than the natal astrology, which is also quite a long, enduring tradition and still practiced to this day. But mundane astrology, the capacity to, and also sometimes called electional, an aspect of it being an electional astrology, the idea of being able to both pick a time, but also understand when you're supposed to do something, when something is supposed to happen, and also understanding how it pertains to predicting actual world events, right? So certain seasons, time periods, and astrological moments usher in things for us. Wouldn't you agree with that, William?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I specialize in is mundane astrology, and which is the study of cycles in terms of how it impacts the world stage, civilization, human behavior on a collective scale, and very much what we're talking about here in terms of how it shaped the course of history and how it's very much connected with the activities and festivities and holidays of our civilization.
Now, so, let's talk a little bit of practicum, what I mean, like actions that we do during the autumnal equinox. Theory is very important. Understanding the roots of what we're talking about is also very important. But I want listeners to understand what it is that we actually do during this time period. So I have colleagues who work in a tradition that is a little bit, maybe we can term it neo-pagan or reconstruction, or a tradition that really tries to connect to the old nature cults and religions and agrarian traditions that were quite dominant in most of the world, especially in Europe and the Mediterranean. And for them, this time period is about specifically lighting candles. So candles have become a very important way of working during the autumnal equinox. It's to recognize the fact that night and day are now officially equal. It also ushers in the fact that candle work in particular is very popular, or the setting of lights or lighting something is very popular during this time period and throughout during winter, and so you'll find people within those traditions. For example, for me, this is a time period particularly of mending and tending things. So the fact that I'm, for example, cleaning my books, or I intend to clean my books and dust them off, that is not coincidental, that's not accidental, that is very much, it's something that I do every fall. And there's a reason for that, right? It's a dealing, it's almost like an intellectual harvest, if you will, that I do. I look at the kind of harvest of books around me, and I cull, and I put some back on the shelves, and some remain. And so there's something in that. For me in particular, so cleansing. I do lots of cleansing work, but especially house cleansing, where springtime is about me. I do cleanse myself. It is spiritual cleansing of myself. Fall is very much about my house and my home. I do Chinese floor wash. I smoke the house with incense, things of that sort. So I want to ask first you, William, and then Ms. Aida, what are some of the things that you specifically do, work-related or magical-related, that are geared toward this particular time period and season?
Well, basically what I do is I take a look at the actual ingress itself, and based on the particular portents unique for that ingress, I'll do a particular working for myself or for my clients that will really set the initiative or the energy going forward that will, again, get me through this period. Because one of the things working with candles or lamps, what have you, that's associated with this period is simply because the weather got colder, the nights got longer, right? And just simply because of that that changing development required more candlelight, whether they were using candles or natural light, I should say, from candles or from oil lamps. So that in itself is something where you can, the tradition of combining the magic with that shift in season. So one of the things is I seen too is that I feel a lot of any type of blockage that came up that manifested itself halfway through the process. Let's say from we start a new initiative, we're totally focused on something new, exciting, and different, and we go out there and we go for it, and then we encounter a blockage or a bump in the road. All right. And then we have to sort of refrain, review, and then go forward again. And sometimes, and often that happens around this time when the sun ingresses into Libra. So it's 6 months later into the cycle, right? And it has very much to do with cutting through or going through or cultivating the necessary moral courage, all right? Or whatever's interfering with our potential, all right, for achieving or bringing to completion that outcome that we initiated in the spring.
That's a fantastic way of putting it. Yeah. Ms. Anita, what are some things that you do work-wise, specific
types of
working?
What I do mostly is honor my ego and my deceased ancestors. I think that, the veil does become thinner. I'm a very, very firm believer of that. I'm also a firm believer that the light of a candle will also assist to pierce the veil between our world and the spiritual world. So I think it's a great time to light the candles, like you had said, but I also offer food, and I do this more often during this season. I feel a closer connection to my ancestors. I mean, not that I don't feel a connection. It's just it feels like they're right here with me as the veil gets thinner. And I put food outside, and I put food on my Bovada, and it's what I do all the time.
Yeah, you'll find that that's also very traditional in Hoodoo and root work in particular. That fall is a time period where a lot of people visit cemeteries and graves of ancestors and people that they are going to, people that they want to remember. The cleaning of graves in particular happens. There is a very common tradition we find in Virginia and in North Carolina, and sometimes in South Carolina and Georgia as well. But you actually visit the cemetery and you cleanse the grave, and there's this idea that you use cold water in particular during this time period to wash the tombstone of a person, and the idea being that that helps to keep their soul soothed and calm.
Refreshed.
And, refreshed. And it comes out of a tradition of the idea that you honor the spirits of the dead people, clean off their ancestral altars. And again, we use the term ancestral altar in kind of the anthropological sense. Not everyone calls it an altar, but they have something in hoodoo that it resembles an altar, usually some place where
right.
they're
And, you know, the point I want to bring up, and you brought up a very good point, is, you know, people will put water on their altar and just keep it there. And I tell them, change the water every day. Give them ice, you know, nice cold water for refreshment. When you're honoring a saint, give them nice cold water for refreshment. They don't want stale water. You know, I don't want drink a glass of water that's been sitting there 2-3 days. You know, so that's a very important point you brought up.
Yeah, cold water. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, too, that this is considered a liminal time, and the boundaries between the world and the other world could be more easily crossed. And this means also spirits and fairies could more easily come into our world, or we can reach into their world. All right? So that's another looking at the natural spirits, or fairies, or anything within that particular pantheon one feels knowledgeable and drawn to, is where we can be more engaged with that world, with that other world.
Well, you know, what do you think about readings during this time?
In terms of readings? Well, first of all, I mean, I think that I know for a fact that mediums in particular, because I have a couple mediums as my clients, they are in major demand during this period. They always say they do best. They give the best readings overall because the veil is thinning, and they do get spirits and people who have crossed over, and earthbound spirits communicate much more easily to them than any other time. And it's just interesting, the coincidence of people engaging or calling mediums or people who use mediumistic powers in combination with other methods of divination seem to go very well during this period.
You know, we should
mention, you be doing, I'm sorry, would you be doing an astrological reading or tarot reading during this time more?
Well,
which of the two would you be doing more of?
Okay, so that's a good question here, because that really, really depends. Because as we most hoodoo practitioners who use playing cards or tarot cards, it really gives us a good snapshot of what's going on in a situation, and helps a reader and the person to focus on a particular problem. However, at this time, I would often look at the astrological natal chart or the transits or the planetary indicators or that time lord period that breaks up a person's life into specific chapters, especially now that we're halfway through the astrological year. Remember, folks, the astrological year starts on March 21st, not January 1st. So we're halfway through the astrological year, and I would want to see what's going on with the person's natal chart to determine what period they're in, what they're going into, what are the challenges that are going to be going on for the remainder of the astrological year. And in terms of timing, astrology is certainly superior in that respect to tarot cards and playing cards, because it can give us a projection within a great degree of precision now with the computer technology of when transits are going to shift, when planetary transits are going to shift, and when certain periods, when certain activations or what they call planetary activations will occur that will correlate with specific events and specific events in their life.
Fascinating. There's also particularly for people who do work with divination, there's a tradition of cleaning your divinatory tools. And not everyone does this, to be clear. I know plenty of people that don't clean their tarot or their pendulums or their crystal balls or any other type of tools. But there are also people who do. And for the people who do, fall equinox happens to be, the autumnal equinox happens to be one of the most common air times when people will cleanse those jewels. So I know plenty of people that will wipe down their crystal balls, that will clean their pendulums, that will dust the tarot cards, so various forms of psychic sprays or sprays that are meant to enhance and cleanse. All are used during this time. People use a lot of psychic vision products. It's not, you know, an accident that just recently Lucky Mojo did their sale and special on psychic products, right, and psychic tools. That, I think, corresponds quite clearly with what's going on with the season. And so you have a lot of people that do that type of work, cleaning their tools and working in that regard. I should also mention that tomorrow happens to be St. Cyprian's Day. And so for a lot of people who work with St. Cyprian, the fact that it's coinciding so closely with the autumnal equinox makes it that much more important. And so there are people who are doing specific type of feasts that involve with St. Cyprian and connecting with him mediumistically, especially with his connection to the dead. And you'll find this out of the kind of espiritismo tradition, very much found in Latin America, Brazil. So that's another aspect of it. Now, William, I wanted to ask you, you did wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between tarot and astrology. You had an opportunity, you talked a little bit about timing-wise, Miss Aida asked you about that, and you talked about how astrology provides very accurate timing. And I can attest to this as a person who does quite a bit of astrology. I always tell people that I tend to read tarot cards. I've become known for doing more tarot cards on the radio show, but the work that I do for myself, generally, if I ever have a question, it's horary astrology or geomancy, because I find those two to be very accurate and able to pinpoint. What other differences? We have a few minutes, and I wanted to give you this opportunity because this was brought up last time you were on here. So we wanted to give you the chance to discuss the differences between tarot and astrology as you've come to understand it, and we'll kind of chime in from the side of the peanut gallery. But I did want to open the floor up for you to really discuss that.
Okay, sure. So I'll bullet point it out, and then we can go a little deeper if we would like. So astrology can tell you specific things about the character and personality of that individual. It can point out the developmental trends of one's life even ahead of time, mm-hmm. or even prior. Many times when I first look at a chart, I'll see if a particular set of planetary transits were active like 2 years before, and I'll bring that up and they'll say, yes, that's exactly the reason I'm coming to you today, because what occurred 2 years ago and now it's at a point where I needed to make a decision either way on something. Astrology can pinpoint time when events will happen in the past and in the future and what the nature of those events are. Tarot can answer very specific questions. It can give us a good snapshot background story and what the focus of a particular problem is. It can provide meditative messages with a certain level of depth and gravitas that other methods of divination come short of. Astrology requires a lot more study to reach a reasonable level of practice and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot, by my experience, could be learned and applied much faster by students, especially in their early studies. However, tarot is not very good at determining when something will or could happen compared to astrology. For example, certain clients will come to me, and the question they will ask is either is framed in a yes or no way. It has to be done. It'll be a yes or no question. I have to give them a specific answer and justify that answer especially if the answer is no. And if the answer is yes, all right, in terms of probability of when it will manifest, how it will manifest, and the timing. Okay, so that would be a horary. So there's times I just look at the natal chart and I see what's going on, and I can see what they've been going through for the past 2 years, and when that period will transition or when it will end and what lessons to be learned, right? Because I'm aware of their natural strengths and weaknesses and their tendencies and character, how they're going to be able to handle that particular period. minutes, and then there are times when they ask me a very specific question where they have to make a decision, all right? And that decision is going – it can be defined in a very, you know, buy or sell, yes or no, you know, it's a very quantifiable way, and that's where we would use horary. Now, what I have done, just so, you know, I'm clear about this, sometimes when I get a horary question and the answer is definitively no, should I marry this man? I've been dating him for 2 years, but I still have second thoughts, and the answer is clearly no using horary, all right, especially if I don't have the natal chart and I don't have time to go into the natal chart, I will pull out some of the playing cards to get more background understanding or more depth understanding or more meditative message out of why that answer is no. Because when the answer is yes, it's, you know, it's all good, right? The consultation is very short and sweet and life goes on. But when the answer is no, that's where the onus is on the reader, on me, to inform the client in a way that makes sense to them and gives justifiable reasoning to why that decision should be reconsidered or, you know, or they should not move forward on that endeavor, even though they're so vested in it.
That's very interesting, yeah. We should mention here real briefly that when it comes to divination, both Kat and I divide the divination. It's not uncommon. We divide divination really kind of two categories. There's those categories that are slightly more analytic, logic-oriented, and you find that astrology fits into that category. These are divination methods that are usually rooted in some form of science, some kind of pseudoscience, some element of math, some element of a binary tradition. And then there are the more interpretive forms of, that's not to say astrology doesn't have interpretation, but there's more interpretive or intuitive forms of divination on the other side. And most people find themselves drawn to one or the other. And that's why, for example, tarot is a little bit easier to get started, because for a lot of people it's about intuition, it's about being able to connect with the cards and tell the story with the cards. Whereas with astrology, it requires quite a bit of knowledge. You have to learn about astrology. You have to learn the kind of science of astrology in order to really efficiently and proficiently use it. And then there's those divinations that kind of straddle the two of them. Click on the extreme of the intuitives would be something like scrying. Right? Scrying is, that requires a certain type of skill, whereas astrology requires a certain set of knowledge. So thank you for that, William. That was a really great description of the two differences between these two different forms of divination, and also offered us a chance to kind of look at how these things are divided, as well as a great topic on the autumnal equinox. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. We're going to have Papa Newt come in, and after a short kind of break, lead us on to our next call.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Conjurman Ali, special co-host Miss Aida, and this week's special guest, William Stick Evers. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 905 all the way in Ontario, Canada. This is Monica. Monica, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Hello? Good, hey, good. Yes. We've actually met at the Voodoo Festival.
I thought so. Great to
talk
to you again.
Yeah.
But this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
It is. It is.
Wonderful. Now, I see you have had a reading with Ms. Kat or Conjure Penalty, but it was only on regarding your business, and then you. But it was another situation. This is completely separate, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Monica writes, my brother Frankie recently left his wife and three daughters because he said he wasn't in love anymore. There is another lady involved in his life, which I believe has the root cause of his leaving his family. I want to know if something has been done to him spell-wise and if the lady is doing something to him. He has been married for 23 years. He just seems like he is in a cloud and not like him to act it this way. If you can shed a light, I am a medium and reader, but can't seem to get clarification on my own. Turning back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Thanks, Papa Newt. I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's situation, Monica. You say you're a medium and a reader, so it'll be a pleasure to read for you. In this situation,
okay,
let's get a couple of clarifying questions, and then we're going to have Miss Aida stepping in from Miss Kat do your first reading. William will do your second reading, and then I will give you some group work recommendations. So first, you say that he was married for 23 years. Roughly,
that's
how
correct.
Old is your brother Frankie?
He's 48 years old.
48 years old. Okay. And this new lady that is. He's kind of come across as a woman who's younger than he is?
No, they're about the same age.
Okay. There's a reason I asked that. And then what is your brother's sign of the zodiac?
He's born April 14.
April 14. And what is his wife?
His wife is September 22nd.
September 22nd, and then do you know this other lady's, or if you don't, that's fine.
I don't.
Okay. All right, thank you. I'm going to turn this over. We just needed a little bit of astrological information to help us use that for reading. We're going to have Miss Aida do your first reading.
Thank you.
Okay. Coming right up. He says that he has been carrying a lot of burdens for a very long time. And, geez, I'm laying out 21 cards as I do this, so I'm just talking as I'm laying it out, okay? He said that the sex department wasn't that great. And even though the marriage did, you know, it seemed very well. He's not going through midlife crisis, is he? No. He's 23, 43, 50. How old is he?
He's 48.
Could be going through midlife crisis. Okay. Honestly, I don't see a spell here. I see someone who is stressed out, confused. All this confusion around here looks like a midlife crisis to me, because it's showing for a while, showing stress, showing confusion, showing, he says, I don't know if this is true, I'm just telling you what he's saying. He's saying he's pouring all this money and all this in for what? He just can't seem to win. All he does is work, 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 right? And then we have somebody coming along who's giving some great sex, okay?
Right.
And it seems like basically it's what he's mostly attracted to. They're showing that the marriage is a good marriage. It's just he's overwhelmed. He's not paying attention. He's just avoiding things. He's not looking. He's not paying attention. I've got the Eight of Cups over the Two of Swords over the Nine of Wands. This is all avoidance. This man doesn't want to confront little problems. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And based on what I'm seeing, this looks like midlife crisis to me. And this girl whoever she is probably hot in the sack. And he doesn't have the burdens that he's been carrying. Basically, I think he might need a little therapy is what I think's going on here.
Well, he was planning to go back to his wife about 3 weeks ago. And then I guess this girl got to him again, because he had broken up with her, got to him again. And all of a sudden, like in 4 days, she's got him back. And when he was talking to me, he said he made a mistake. He wanted to go back to his family. And then within 4 days, you know, this girl just grabbed him back, right? So that's why I thought, I wonder if she's doing something to him.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I thought I was going to get all kinds of stuff here, and I didn't get a thing. Nothing. Maybe Ali can shed some light.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Ada, for that reading. I think the way you layered the cards there, I think, are really telling. I think that really speaks to what's going on here. We're going to have William do your next reading, and I'm going to come in with some group work recommendations.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, this is William.
Hi, William.
Hi. Okay, so basically I did a horary. I drew up the exact time when you asked the question, and essentially what we're seeing here is someone who is going through a midlife crisis, and the reason I can say that is Uranus is in the house of your brother's significator. So in that respect, it indicates the Aquarian is going through some type of internal drastic change. There's generally a change in circumstances. The tempo of his life has been sped up. I believe there was some significant breakdown that occurred this summer in particular, and certainly around the time of the eclipse, all right? That was a major shakeup, both personally and with his current lover, all right? And then where he had second thoughts about maybe going back or making a mistake, and then she pulled him back in because he's in a very vulnerable place. Ultimately, what he needed to do, what he felt he needed to do, this is sort of an act of defiance. He wanted to somehow liberate himself for something that he felt very constrained in. A marriage of convenience that sort of works for the kids, meets his wife's basic needs in terms of giving security and stability, but wasn't ultimately meeting his needs. His wife, at least the marriage, the way it was, at least the way the construct of the marriage was over the past 7 years, all right, was that his needs were not being met, all right, and on multiple levels, physically, emotionally, sexually, psychologically, on a number of levels, right, where he did not feel authenticated by this. Now, it could be, too, that his wife is certainly too overwhelmed with running a household and raising kids and overextended in her own capacities to do that. But this has ultimately been building for a while. And that's why if he runs back and says, I want to get back and I really made a mistake, I really think they're going to have to reconstruct their marriage from the ground up, working with some type of relationship specialist, a therapist. I don't think it's getting back together and just trying to move on from this is going to fix the problem. This is much more deeply rooted. So, yes, he's been thinking in a very diluted way, all right, vacillation, a lot of extremes, ups and downs. He says one thing, does another. This state of confusion and ambivalence, operating within a zone of distraction, being caught up, all right, with what's in the moment and not looking at the long-term ramifications. This is all going to catch up. But I do not think, even if he goes back to his wife, he will necessarily stay with his wife. We could also look at this from a broader perspective, and I don't even have his chart here, is he's going through what one would call a spiritual emergency, having lost touch with his internal guidance, his own, not feeling that being a husband or the role he played as being married was fulfilling in some way to or somehow part of this purpose. So it's a deeper issue. It's not just, the typical, midlife crisis where men go out and buy a red convertible and get a young, blonde lover and, do that for like 6-7 weeks and, run up $100,000 of debt, living life in the fast lane. It's not simply that. This has to go much deeper, and it has a lot to do with some of the intimate, emotional breakdown that occurred between him and his wife, probably going back around 3 years. Exactly.
They had a rough start because my mother died at their wedding. So they had a rough start.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I would die if that was me. I mean, that would be devastating.
So I've been trying to be a little bit motherly to him for these past 23 years, or you know, but I feel like I'm not successful in this right now. So.
Well, we should say that you can't put. Look, you've done a great job of really stepping in and being a maternal figure to him, and that's good on some level. But you can't let the success or failure of this relationship be a judgment on you, right? You're not a failure, or you're not failing them in any way, shape, or form. This is all on him and them.
Right.
And that's very important to walk away. If there's nothing else you get from the readings, that's something that you need to recognize. This is not your fault. And you shouldn't feel guilty or bad about it in any way, shape, or form. Now, you as a counselor, as a reader, as a spiritual worker, can try to help them in some way, shape, or form. But don't hinge your worth or your success on it, right? Don't. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So give it a deadline. If it doesn't work out, then move on. But here's what I'm going to say. You've got two really good readings, and I think that they're really telling you what's going on. I know that it may seem like she's got some type of hold on it, and she may very well, but that hold doesn't have to be magical. In particular, Aries and Virgo are not. I mean, you'd have to do a more in-depth look at both of their charts. You can get astrological readings on and see what's going on there, if this is just what was meant to be. But Aries and Virgo, and just speaking from a purely generic sun sign, which is very limited as it is, perspective, they're not entirely the best of mix. Longevity generally comes from the fact that Virgo can provide a good amount of stability and comfort, and so people can get used to that comfort. So the idea that he thought that he made a mistake and he needed to come back to his family, I think that's very telling. But what she needs to do, if you can, now has she opened any type of root work or anything like that, or no?
Not really, no.
Okay. No. So that's important to know.
I'm the one in the family, so.
Okay. Because, you know, I could pass on recommendations that you could give her, but if she's not willing to do it, then that's an entirely different matter. If she wants to bring, if you want to kind of work on this and bring him back home, do so with the understanding that there are underlying issues, as both William and Zaida has pointed out, and that those issues need to be dealt with vis-a-vis therapy or some type of counseling that they will have to do together. But there is something you can do to draw him back, or at least give them another shot. What I would recommend for you to do is work with a skull candle in particular to really get into his mind. And two angles need to be worked at. One, that he needs to return to his family, and family being the key word here, stability will draw him back. And two, that he needs to see his wife with new eyes, and that is passionate eyes. Virgos in particular need to feel very comfortable before they open up. They're just as kinky and loving and freaky as all the other signs are, but they need a little bit to open up. And clearly he's finding some type of sexual gratification elsewhere. So we need to help have him see that, wait a minute, he could add that fulfillment in his marriage. So work with a skull candle, carve it out, and in the base I want you to put some juniper, cubeb, lovage. I'm a big fan of lovage. It's really good to rekindle love and also encourage passion. Rose petals for love, violet leaves to heal, ginger to spice things up, and two balms of Gilead to heal whatever hurts are between these two people. You're then going to melt some wax and cover the hole back up that you've carved out. Baptize this in his name, write his name along the bottom, and then inscribe onto the skull candle the message that you want him to receive. So use a pen and write on there very clearly that he misses his family, he needs to return to his family, and he loves and desires his wife, and desires the key word here. Then you're going to anoint this thing with follow me, boy, and fires of passion, fires of love, and you are going to anoint it over 7 days. Every night while you think he's asleep, you're going to take that skull candle, and you're going to rub that oil onto it, and you're going to speak directly to him, and you're going to speak very gently to him. You're going to say, listen, listen, my brother, you miss your wife. You desire your wife. You want to be with your family. And you're going to keep talking to him in this convincing tone. On the seventh day, you are going to light the candle and let it burn all the way down. There's going to be a lot of wax left over. Take a little bit of wax, bury it in their front yard if you can. Go over to their house and say, you know what, you take the day off. I'm going to clean your house for you. You go, you know, with the kids and have a day off. And then I want you to do a nice, thorough spiritual cleaning of the house, if you can do so. If you can't, then, you know,
they've
make
moved
do.
Since.
They've moved
yeah,
since.
Yeah, they sold the house already. Yeah.
Great. Then if you has he been to this house or no?
No. No.
No.
He's moved out.
You don't need to do a cleansing, but take some peace water with you, sprinkle the peace water, and then get yourself some Follow Me Boy and Love Me powders. Sprinkle that and rub that into the carpet, and then take a half of it that you've sprinkled and rubbed into the carpet, the other half somewhere that he will walk through it. So, you know, wherever he's staying now, put the other half there, mix it with a little bit of dirt, and he will walk through it. The fact that you want to do half and half so that these two are spiritually connected, he will walk through the dust that you lay down and be drawn to her home. And then, you know, it's up to them. You get him back into the door and then give her some advice. Give her some advice to go into some counseling, to open up sexually and emotionally and to have real honest conversations between the two of them. Give them that advice. But if things don't work out, then you need to recognize that there's not much you can do. You can't force these people to be together. At the end of the day, you can give them that push, but your success is not based, or your worth isn't based on them. That's my recommendation.
Right.
Let's see if Miss Aida or William have any further suggestions that they want to give.
Well, you know how my mind goes. You're always about love and stuff. I'm about the deep stuff. We go to www.luckymojo.com, breakup.html, and look at all the breakup spells that Miss Cat has on there, on that webpage.
Okay.
William,
okay, well, thank you very much.
Add?
No, I don't have anything to add. I just want to just say that I think if her brother happens to return, the indications in the horary indicate some type of remediation through professional therapy is going to be a must in terms of making this marriage goes forward.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody. That will certainly help.
Thank you for trusting us with your situation. Good luck. Do let
us
know how things turn out.
Thank
and we're going to have
you.
Papa New
You're a good
come in
person.
And
You're a good person.
We're going to have Papa New come in and lead us forward to our next caller.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 914 in New York City. This is T. T, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I see you called us 3 years ago, so welcome back. And
thank you.
Situations not all changed since then?
This is a different call. This is in regards to my mom.
Oh, yes. I just was checking on how you were doing. But let's
go
ahead
you.
And read the situation. You're welcome. Huh? Let's see what we have here. And you write, my mother is very sick with pulmonary hypertension. She's battling with breathing problems along with very high pressure on her heart. Her prognosis is quite grim. She current, or her current intubated. I'm so sorry, I cannot say medical
intubated
terms. Oh, thank God. So she can't speak. She forcefully tries, though, which affects her oxygen levels. Fevers also started to happen. I want to know, what will the workers see? And his grace recognizing her condition and what they recommend I do. I've been fasting and praying. Turning back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you, Papa Jim. Thank you for trusting us with this situation. It is,
of course,
one that is very difficult, and my heart goes out to you and your family and
your
mother. So let's take a look at what the cards have. I also have some mediumistic things going on here. But you are going through something that is very clearly difficult, and we see this in the Two of Swords. The Two of Swords shows us an individual who's blindfolded and who had swords crossed over her chest, and this is a person who is unable to see the position that she is currently in. Papa New, could you mute the other callers for me? I'm having a lot of background. Thanks. So we have the Two of Swords is the very first card, and this really speaks to the position that you're currently in. It is one that is difficult, barren, and grim, just like this card, and it's one where you're not quite sure what this all means or what this particular situation holds for the future, if there's something that you're supposed to learn from it, take away from this, or how things will turn out. And that can be a hard position to be in, because it leaves you feeling like you are in a state of paralysis, that you're unable to really move forward. So this card really speaks to where you are emotionally. The next card that we have here is the Five of Pentacles. The Five of Pentacles is an environmental card. It's a card that really speaks to the situation at hand. It shows us two individuals who are poor, who are in ill health, and who are out in the dark and in the cold, and they don't see that there is a warm cathedral right behind them. What this means is this is a timing thing. This is a situation that is unfortunately somewhat in the cards. There's not a lot you can do to change it. You're unable to kind of fix what's going on, but what you can do is offer light and comfort to take away any kind of sting that may come up from this. So consider doing work that eases the spirit, that eases the soul, that helps to heal the mind and the body, but do so with the understanding that you are now giving aid and comfort, that you're not doing this in order to kind of stop the hand of fate or to turn things around, because it is not something that is within your power at this point in time. And the final card that we have here is a card of peace, and that is the Six of Cups. The Six of Cups is a card of spirits that are going to be united and joined together. Six of Cups is a gift, something that you will receive from this, some insight, some connection, some knowledge that you will experience. You won't find it immediately. It may take some time afterwards that you come to understand that your experience through this and how you handle it and what you do during this particular time period is going to leave you with an impression or leave you with some experience that is going to be important for the rest of your life. So doing work that is aimed at comforting her and helping her is going to be important, and you're going to learn from that. You're going to take something away from it. The Six of Cups is a good card. It's a card that says that at the end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter what what the ending is, that you will walk away from this and you will be all right, that you will heal from it and that you will be okay. It is also a very interesting card because it is two spirits meeting that do have an ancestor that is very clearly present in this reading, and this is an older female who's present, and she's going to be with you during this time period, so you're not alone. Your ancestors are very clearly aware of your situation, aware of your hurt. Appeal to them. Doing ancestor work during this particular time period is going to be important for you. If you don't do ancestor work right now, start to do ancestor work. Reestablish those lines. recreate those bonds, call upon them to aid you during this time, to give healing to the family. And it is important that you focus on healing for the family, not just your mother. Your mother, you should work on and try to help as best as you can, set some lights and prayers for her, but also on the family as a whole, on everyone, and including yourself, because this is going to have an impact on you as well as everyone around you. So I have, that is what I see here. The cards are pretty clear on what you need to do, and the message from the other side, from your ancestors, is also clear that they're here for you and you're not alone. In particular, an older female's present. This may perhaps be a great aunt or a grandmother or something of the sort, but this is someone who has a very strong connection to you and who's willing to help you out. So don't be afraid to reach out to them and do ancestral work. That's what I have here. We're going to turn this over to William, who's going to do your next reading, and then we're going to have Miss Aida give you some root work recommendations. So if we can get Papa Newt to unmute, I believe William.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. This is William. Hi.
Okay. Thank you.
So I grew up a Hori, which is an astrological chart of the moment, who asked a question to all three of us. And I looked at your mother's significators in particular, and I noticed that both her significator. Can we mute the other speakers, please? Thanks. Okay. So, what I noticed looking at this Hori in particular was that the significator for both your mother and the medical affliction is in the eighth house of passing on, you know, they call it the eighth house of death. But the eighth house has to do with endings. It has to do with going through transitions. It has to do with inexorable forces, the path of sweeping change, being caught in an inescapable situation, going through something that can't be avoided, dealing with things that are have a sense of fate and destiny, that are there's a certain inevitability of the situation coming to its final conclusion. Generally, it can be the passing or the ending or passing. So it indicates also concluding a lot of unfinished business between you and your mother, and whatever unfinished business other people have with your mother in particular. The portents come into perfection. They come into final perfected aspect in the first, second week of October, around October 9th and 10th. October 9th and 10th is going to be the time when things will come to a head. It'll become very clear what, you know, the prognosis will, whatever the current level of prognosis is in terms of what time she has here on Earth. It'll become very apparent at that time that that time is coming to a close. So unfortunately, and I have to say this, I don't see a turnaround in her situation. I don't see things turning around for the better. I don't see a rejuvenation in her health or a reversal or a remission. I don't see that. I see this more about it's more about a period of parting ways. It's more. This also applies where your significator is going through some type of changing status, moving from the known to the unknown. There's a sense of waiting in an in-between state that's going to take place between now and the second week of October, or a sense of being in the middle of what's happening. So this is what I see. I think a lot of the advice Conjurman Ali came up with was very applicable. I don't know if I can add more to it, but this is very much about a sense of inevitability, coming to terms with that, getting affairs in order, settling any unfinished business your mother may have. Getting focused on that, realizing everything has its place in time, including everybody's life. Everyone's life has its limit. There's a shelf life for everything, including our own lives. So that's the message I'm getting through here with this Hori.
Thank you, William, for that reading. Let's have Miss Aida come in, and she's going to give you some root work recommendations. Miss Aida is, I think, uniquely qualified.
Yes, I'm here. This loud
you.
Beeping
Thanks,
in the background.
Yeah. Miss Aida is uniquely qualified to give you root work advice, having worked in the you know, in this profession for quite some time, both as a root worker and as someone who has worked in health. So I think you are in really good hands, and I turn this over to her.
Hi. I am a registered nurse, and I do hold a master's degree with a lot of years of experience. And, you know, I saw the pulmonary hypertension, you know, the high pressure, you know, ventricular pressure is what you're describing, breathing problems along with very high pressure on her heart. That's ventricular, most likely. And now that her fever's up, it just doesn't look good. What concerns me so much is that you've been fasting. Praying is wonderful. Fasting is great at times, but right now, and I'm going to give you some practical advice before I give you root work advice. Fasting right now is making you weak, and you don't want to be weak around her. You need to be strong. You need to support her. And when you're weak, you're immunosuppressed, and you'll get sick. So although fasting is great, this is not the time for it. There is, and I understand why you've done it. You're hoping for a miracle. I just don't see it, and I don't see it as a nurse, and I don't see it as a spiritualist. Now, miracles do happen. They do happen. Don't get me wrong. It can happen, but this seems kind of, based on the readings also, it doesn't seem good. Now, as far as her pulmonary hypertension, I want to tell you, I don't know what if you're Christian, but Saint Teresa, she is a saint that helps with the lungs. So if you wish to alleviate that, the pressure in her lungs, which obviously, you know, everything back flows, and that's why everything's going to the heart and all this. So Saint Teresa is the saint to pray for the lungs. And Saint Teresa, by the way, is also one that we pray to for, you know, a smooth transition. So either way, you can't go wrong with Saint Teresa. As far as you and your family are concerned, you know, normally we would recommend healing candles for your mother, but in this case, you need some healing candles on yourself, and you need some tranquility. And you can offer, as Conjure Man Ali had stated, that ancestors are around. We can't be lighting candles in her room because she's obviously on oxygen. So, well, she's intubated. So, I mean, we could put we were just talking about this earlier, put out a fresh glass of cold water for the ancestors. If your mother can hear you, I did this with my mother. I did this with my husband before they died, is give me a sign and to let me know you're okay. And they both did. In fact, my husband actually gave me the lottery numbers, and I thought it was just my imagination, and the lottery numbers came out that night. So I blew that chance. So ask for that, for a sign. And last is peaceful home for yourself, for your home, for the peace, tranquility, and healing. Now, Conjure Man Ali, I just want to ask you real quick, because I'm not an expert with the herbs like you are. I'm thinking about angelica, like peaceful types mm-hmm. of herbs and roots. Could you suggest that for a mojo?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Angelica is a fantastic one. It's literally an angel root. Althea is really good for healing. Althea also brings in positive spirits. So we've talked about, I talked about, for example, that I saw one of your ancestors, very present, a female ancestor. Althea will both bring soothing and healing as well as cultivate that ancestral presence. Basil is another really great herb for tranquility and healing. So I would recommend all three of those.
And maybe put that mojo in her pillow so that she can have some peace. That's what I'm thinking. And that's my input.
That's, I think, a fantastic way of working, a kind of mojo that you can place in the pillow or some type of herb pillow itself. All are really, really good for this situation. Another thing that I would recommend is the Crystal Silence League. If you go to crystalsilenceleague.org, you can put in a prayer for your mother and your family, and you'll have a network of people with crystal balls that will pray on your behalf. She's asking if Lady Trumpack, she's asking if she can be unmuted. Please, Papa Note, if you can go ahead and do that so you can hear from her. Hello, you should be unmuted.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I know Conjurman Ali mentioned ancestors and working with them. Can you give me an idea on how to reach out to this female ancestor, whichever way
Absolutely.
It is that she wants to work?
Yeah, the best way to do is to set aside a space for them in your home. This is generally done in the living room or some type of communal space in your home. You can set aside, and you can put up pictures of your family members. You can put up pictures of grandparents, specifically family members that are deceased or who have passed on. Anything that
okay.
is a family heirloom, you can also keep on that space. It's very common for people to put a family Bible in particular on there, or any other kind of family heirlooms that you may have, things that have been passed on. And then light a white candle and place out a cup of water. You can also put out a bowl of Althea, so you could put kind of three objects on there. A small bowl filled with Althea leaves, Althea to really cultivate their spirit. A fresh cup of water, nice cool water, as Miss Ada mentioned earlier in the show, nice cool water, and a white
mm-hmm.
candle, and then just pray in front of it, whichever way you're comfortable praying. For example, people who are Catholic might pray the rosary, people who are not, or some people might read passages from the Bible, or just pray from your heart, whatever way you feel comfortable. And if you call
Thank
out
you.
To them, they will answer. If you call out and you will ask ancestors who are present, please come forth and help us during this time. Bring your healing, your wisdom, and your guidance. They will hear you, and they will step forward. And then maintain that altar, even for, you know, in perpetuity. Keep that altar going once a week on a Sunday or a Monday. Put a new cup of water there and light a new candle. And this is a really good way to cultivate their influence and bring them into your life. William, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I don't. I think that was exemplary.
Okay.
What you just stated.
Okay.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. We do wish you all the best. And let us know
thank
how
you.
Things are. You and your family are definitely in my prayers, and I'll be lighting a candle for you this evening.
Me
evening.
Too.
I appreciate it. Thank
I,
you
I
so much.
I feel for you, sweetie.
Thank you.
Papa Newt is going to come in, and after a brief break, we're going to head on to a free spell segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner with Candela Convisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
now it's time for a freestyle segment with William Stickevers of WilliamStickevers.com in San Francisco, California. Take it away, William.
Yeah, so the autumn equinox has very much to do, this one in particular, with addressing what has essentially been interfering with our potential that we can't seem at this time to get past ourselves to achieve in any particular outcome or taking a necessary level of action regarding to achieving some goal that we started out in the beginning of the year. So I put together this road opener lamp spell for risky ventures or getting that extra juice and push so we can attain the tools, the knowledge, and push through with the level of intensity and clarity moving forward, whether it's taking and cultivating the moral courage to take action or and following through with the necessary work and continuing to move on the path that we initiated earlier this year. So this road opener oil lamp spell for risky ventures, for self-actualization to get us back on the road to self-actualization, giving us the courage, the willingness to act from the heart, right? And knowing what's required for you to do what's next, right, is going to be composed of the following. So what you do is you're going to take your open your oil lamp well, all right, open up, and you're going to put the following items inside of it. 3 mojo wishing beans so that all your dreams and wishes come true, a small load stone to draw money and good fortune to you like a magnet, a pinch of magnetic sand to feed that lodestone, a cinnamon stick to draw money and prosperity in one's life, 5-finger grass so that success comes in all things that the finger 5 fingers can do, juniper berries for luck in sexual relations and relationships in general, nutmeg to give one the edge in any form of speculation, in anything where one needs an edge when moving forward on a risky venture, allspice to enhance money luck in any matter of speculation, devil's shoestring to protect against any harm, gossip, or just any general misfortune, personal concerns, some hair or fingernail. Certainly want to use the zodiacal oil for your respective sun sign to constellate the self-actualization process. You want to certainly add into that oil well, road opener oil, of course, to break blockages and open the way for seizing new opportunities. And finally, you want to put Lady Luck oil in to bring the luck of the Irish in any risky venture. And when you put that in, you fill the lamp up with oil once all the items are in. In order to stay focused on what you need to accomplish with this lamp, you're going to have to work with this, all right? And but what I mean by that is you're going to need to light that lamp. You're going to need to talk to it every day. You want to pray to the higher powers that your roads will be open and free of obstacles and that you will follow through by taking action. And we have to keep in mind that, you know, Conjure takes commitment and some work each day for it to be effective. If you choose to just light the lamp, you know, and walk away and let it burn without doing anything, you'll get some results, but it won't last long. It all really depends on what you define your outcome as and what you put into it. So that's basically what I see. I think this is very much connected to the astrological chart of the autumn ingress to really give us what we need to stay on that road, to stay with many of those initiatives and goals and things we've been doing since the spring, and follow it through into the next astrological year.
This is wonderful, wonderful working. I love this. A couple questions that I think clients will have. In particular, how long should they keep this lamp? Can they keep this lamp going all year? Or is this something that you would carry on for a season and then maybe get rid of or dispose of? What would be the kind of timing?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I thought about that, and I was thinking from the time of the autumn ingress or when they could start it, if they started it today or this, you know, tomorrow, certainly sooner rather than later, and then run that all the way until November 1st, which is initially, that was my thinking about it. From the time of the Autumn Harvest Festival celebration to the transition to the thinning of the veil, all right, and All Hallows Eve, right? I was thinking about that timeline to certainly enhance the magical power and momentum of this period as we make that transition, all right, from the outer world,
mm-hmm.
from the day world into the night world.
Mm. And what would be the appropriate way to kind of stop the lamp? What would you do with the herbs and whatnot within the lamp or the roots, et cetera? Is there a proper way of disposing that you would recommend?
Yeah, I would recommend burying the herbs in one's backyard. If that's possible, if they live in a city, go to an area that is sacred or they feel, you know, where they could dispose those herbs and give it a proper farewell, and thanking it for the work it's provided for us. So, yeah, I do feel it's an intuitive process.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly work that lamp as much as I could, and then when I feel it's certainly brought me to where I needed to go and I had that level of momentum, all right, and I was pushing through that resistance, I would certainly consider, you know, changing out the oil well of the lamp.
Mm-hmm. And I think working the lamp, this is a really important point that you mentioned, that this takes commitment, and you're not just meant to just light it. Oil lamps are very active ways of working with light and working with fire in ways that sometimes candles aren't. Every time, for example, you fill the reservoir, you're doing it with prayers daily, you're trimming the wick, you're extending the wick, you're controlling the flame, right? How big the fire is, how small the flame is. These are all very important ways of working with the candle, with the lamp. And so working lamps are meant to be tended to. And you're meant to clean, for example. Sometimes you'll get some soot on the shoot. You can clean that out. So working a lamp and working it daily and working it regularly and being attentive to it is part of the power of lamps, because they kind of gather, they gather power over time. And so the more you put into it, the more you will receive. That's why I really love this particular working and love that you recommended it, especially for this time period, because I think it really kind of opens things up and breaks down any type of barrier and starts the kind of, you know, finishes off the other half of the year or the astrological year, as you mentioned, in the right way. So thank you, William, for that fantastic working. Really like it. I'm a fan of lamps, so I love that. We're going to have Papa Nuke come in and close this out, and then we're going to come back and say some final words.
Thank you, Consummate Ali, and thank you, Miss Aida, for being our special guest, and thank you, William Stickabers of williamstickabers.com in San Francisco, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Susan Barnes of susanbarnesauthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Cafe in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum Conjurman Ali at thedojo.com in Mississippi, California, and Miss Aida at missaida.com in Detroit, Michigan. Switching it around on me. I'm your announcer, Papa New, joining you from PapaNew.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here, and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. And thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Papa Newt, for being our stalwart guy during this. People don't know how much work goes on behind the scenes, and managing the board for us is, of course, invaluable aid and really useful. So thank you, Papa Newt. Couldn't have done this without you. Thank you, Miss Aida, for joining as a guest co-host. You were so much fun to co-host this show with. You're always a blast and all sorts of fun. Thank you, William, for joining us.
I got three sexy men with three sexy voices. I mean, I got it made tonight.
It's a good Sunday. Thank you, William, for joining us as a guest. This was a really cool topic. I had so much fun. I think we all had so much fun talking about astrology and the season, and we enjoyed, absolutely loved the free spell that you gave at the end. Thank you all for tuning in. We wish you all the best. Happy, a blessed autumnal equinox. And for those of you that celebrate St. Cyprian's feast day, may it be blessed. And see everyone next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.